I got a couple of things I'd like to talk about, if I may.
All right. Are these going to be questions or answers?
I had a conversation with Roger, not yesterday, because it was my bronchitis was on really, really hard. Couldn't really think. But last week, and in that conversation, a couple things came up. And one of them was that I had not understood why certain parts of that outline of imagination center were included. And that was very, very handy for me to have had the conversation to understand why that material was there. But also, that conversation and one I had had a week before, that I realized that the imaging that I was doing, and I have been doing for 20 years, Roger was always asking us to not listen to his words per se, but form an image of what he's talking about and follow the image. And I thought I was doing that. But it turned out I was trying to force an image, if you can, maybe I can describe that a bit to tell the difference. I thought that when I heard a word, I thought that there was an appropriate image that I should get, and then I tried to force what I thought Roger was hoping we would
be getting. Get out of the way.
And so this what I realized in talking to Roger, that I had not been imaging the way he was hoping we would be imaging. And since then, I've done, shall we say, experimenting. And just letting images form, not getting in the way or having an expectation what that image must be or should be. And I've discovered that I can have an extraordinarily rich set of images if I just get the hell out of the way. And it was weird in that that's what I do when I do past life readings. I get out of my way and I have all these very detailed images of someone's past life. And it always bugged me that I could do that, but I wasn't imaging when I was following what Roger was saying, or for that matter, then following what anybody was saying. So it's changed a number of things. And one of them is that when I had spare time, like waking up in the middle of the night and nothing, no reason to be awake, excuse me, when I was habitually forcing images, I found that I was forcing worry images, worry about this or worry about that. And I began to try to avoid having that spare time or open time, because I would end up just doing worry stuff. Hmm. Well, since I've been experimenting and just allowing images to form, lying awake at 3 o'clock in the morning ends up being quite productive. There's all kinds of neat imagery comes up, and if I decide on a subject area, without forcing what I want the image to be, but decide on a subject area I'd like to explore, it's just been absolutely fabulous. And as I say, it's now, if I wake up in the middle of the night, got time, I explore. If I've got time between assignments that I'm working on for clients during the day, I just let my mind go to work on whatever. And instead of doing what I normally do of kind of logic and outcome, just let the images arise and work and go with the images, it's an entirely different experience. So I wanted to share that with you, Roger, and the rest of you about how that's working for me now.
Well, keep it up.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Thanks. Well, I'm going to keep it up. Can I add one other thing I wanted to talk about? I don't want to be... And that's around the piece that that Misty put up on the Dropbox, both in PDF and in Word format,
about?
So that we can work with it.
What are you
I need to be reminded again.
I don't know what he's talking
about. What's it for? What are we hoping to put together in the end here?
I have no idea what you're talking to, what you're saying, Patrick.
It's the Life Center
guy. About the Emergent Life Center stuff.
Yeah, but I kept asking, what are you talking about? By the time I found out what you're talking about, I didn't hear what you said.
What was it up there to do?
What?
What was it up there to do? What are they supposed to do?
Edit it. And add to it anything or subtract from it anything. But I've already crashed that whole thing.
Thank God I didn't read it.
Oh!
I've rewritten 40 pages.
Well, nobody else was doing anything, so he got on it.
When did you post it?
This morning.
Oh, I was going to say, I looked this morning.
But you didn't get to see the 40 pages. I put one page up there and nobody's seen it.
Well, we only got it up there this morning.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's checked.
I checked this morning before you put it up.
Huh? Yeah?
I said, I checked this morning before you put it up. I was on at 7:30, I think.
Well, nobody's checked
before. That's right about the time I put it up.
Before Monday evening.
Anyway.
Well, the purpose of that was not so much the information. The matter was putting the definitions over in the comments column. I wrote a description.
I love that.
I wrote a description area and put it in the front, like a glossary in the front, and I didn't like it. Because you're reading the definitions when you don't have a context of them. So then I decided, okay, I'll write this and put the definitions on the side because I don't like them at the bottom. And I sure as hell don't like them. A footnote at the bottom, which then footnotes you to something in the back. And a glossary in the back doesn't do you any good either. So I thought, on the same line over at the right, put in the definition as you go along. So what you're reading, you have the context of what we're talking about, and on the right you have a definition. If you don't, that's the nature of what we're what I'm writing today.
That's the LifeCare one, is it?
Yes.
I just opened it.
And the other thing that Patrick didn't talk about that we talked about is what is the center about? And what I'm trying to say is it's not about healing. You don't even talk about healing because then you're in for anybody who says, I didn't get healed, I didn't get fixed, to sue you. And I know at our resort out there, our insurance rate went from $30,000 a year to $140,000 a year when I left. It was eating us up. That was just the insurance rate.
Did the same thing at malpractice. It was crazy.
Architectural insurance did the same thing. Then they not only took all of that, then they took a percentage of your earnings.
Oh, yeah.
So the healing center cannot be about healing. Or the imagination center cannot be about healing.
I was going to say, don't call
healing.
It a healing center.
Yeah, right.
Got to get that out of you.
Can't use healing center.
Yeah. Get that off your tongue.
The fact is, the problem I had with Andrew. Andrew, are you on here?
Yeah.
He's there.
Yeah, I am.
He said we have to reposition ourselves. We can't reposition ourselves about healing without discussing healing. And the minute you discuss healing, you leave yourself open to, I thought I was going to get healed. How come I didn't get healed?
You opened the barn door.
so I'm not, nobody gave any instructions last week, so I'm doing it. And the Emergent Life Care Center has nothing to do with healing. At least not the way I'm writing it. And if you want to do it otherwise, say so. That's why I gave you that the original center
opportunity
copy. Those people were into healing because the main guy was a chiropractor and he wanted to tell everybody he healed the world. Okay, he had his own insurance then. But I don't think we want to do that.
So this is a guide for anybody who would consider opening up such a center. That provides a framework that they can work with.
That, yes. And it's a workbook. It will be a workbook.
It's also a workbook when to teach from.
Right. So for people who aren't interested in opening a center, it's what you use to do
your life rather than healing.
Yeah, do your life, right. And well, but life, if you ever want healing. To, right. And I think it's the vehicle to write that down. So we're using the center, creating the center as a vehicle to write all this down, and whether you use it as a center or not.
Four times. And like I say, I'm 40 pages into it now, again.
And did you say you rewritten 20 of them?
What? 40 of them.
40.
But there's only one typed.
Yeah, I'm way ahead of her.
Yes.
We're busy around here.
So that's what you posted today that has the definitions in the comments column is you're showing us how you would like the whole thing to be formatted.
Yeah. No, that I'm showing you
the
how
definitions
I'm
will be on the side rather footnote than footnoted or bibliography at the back.
That's the way we're going to do it. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm tired of asking for opinions and not getting any damned opinions, so I'm going to do it my way. And that's the way I've decided to do
it. That's the way it is. We may still put a glossary at the back where they're all together at the end. I just gather them
all.
As
well.
So that
that's a good idea, because then you know right where to go look for it. Yeah.
Yeah, because we're not going to keep...
This is the best,
we're not
best
gonna
solution
keep
I've seen... Yeah, right, okay.
And since I'm writing it in sections so that if you're teaching from it, you can pull out of the book each section and then teach from sections and then take each section in detail.
I think that would be
right now,
helpful.
40 pages into still in the introduction.
Okay.
I may change the title to First Words.
Roger spends his life in the introductions.
Yeah, right.
Well,
I said you spend a big part of your life writing introductions to things.
Yeah.
Introduction to the introductions.
Well, the thing that I put up there is the whole context of forever living. Everything I've said for 20 years is right there.
Or it's going to be.
And, huh?
Or it is going to be.
It's what?
Or it is going to be.
It's up there now. You put it in the Dropbox, didn't
you? Page one. Yeah.
No.
Page one is up. No.
No, a page is up. There's a page in the middle.
Oh, okay. I see.
Page is up.
But that information... If you don't understand that information, you haven't understood anything I've ever said. I said from the very beginning that everything is based on your dreams. If you don't understand your dreams, you'll never understand anything in life. So if you don't understand your dreams, you will not understand that page. and that page will not make much sense to you, and you will not understand eternal, you will not understand death, you will not understand abiding. You'll just keep struggling along with the crap shit that people have been putting out there for centuries. You're living two lives, and you don't even know it. That's why I said you have to be schizophrenic to understand what I'm talking about. You're living two lives, a personal life and an eternal life together. You always thought you'd been doing it one at a time. And if you were good enough in your personal life, then you would have a resurrected eternal life. That's all crap.
Amen.
So essentially everything in the imagination center is about that page right there. So if you haven't seen it, if you haven't read it, and if you don't understand it, well, or if it isn't what you want to be part of, then that's fine. But that's the way it's going to be. If I write the book, that's the way it's going to be. And it appears that I'm writing the book.
I like that idea, actually.
Shall I write it? Shall I read it? Did anybody open it?
Yeah, I have it open.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I read it already.
Okay.
You want to read it, Patrick?
No, I'll give Patrick a break.
I think Patrick
just sit in the middle of it.
Do you want to read it?
You don't mind, Pat, do you?
Andrew, Ted?
Not at all.
Andrew's going to read it.
Anybody?
Andrew.
Andrew's going to read it.
Andrew's going to.
Not too fast, please, Andrew.
Good reminder. Thank you. Okay. So, one. More than 50 years ago, John F. Kennedy said in his inaugural address, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." Following this pattern, what comes to mind when we say, ask not what your life can do for you, ask what you can do for your life? This does not ask what you can do for yourself or others in your life. It actually asks what you can do for your life. Isn't it possible that you are living a life other than what you have known and followed for years and even for many lifetimes?
Well, get an answer for that, Andrew.
What you can do for your life?
No, the last question.
Isn't it possible that you're living a life other than what you've known and followed for years and even for many lifetimes? Yes, it's entirely intriguing. Yes, it's very possible.
I think everything that you've been showing us for years, Roger, points to it's not only possible, that it's actually that's what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, tell me how it's going on.
Well, how is it going on? If I take from my dreams that my dreams are episodes in an ongoing saga, and what I take to be having a dream at night is just checking in with that saga and waking up is checking out of that saga, then I live my day-to-day life. But if I see those dreams as an ongoing saga all the time, even while I'm awake, there's a whole different life that I'm living while my body and me are doing everything else I'm doing.
So you're living two selves and two lives at the same time.
and largely don't even know it, but yes, clear as a bell.
And that, by somebody's definition, would be schizophrenic.
I see.
So if you can conceive of your dreams being a continuous saga, why can't you consider that your past lives put all together as a continuous saga? In other words, they don't build up to your life today. They're just a separate, different, continuous saga. Story. Call it what you will.
Got a question. I'm not sure how to frame it here, but let me try. A continuous saga, then let's say Roman Judge was one episode in the saga.
Yeah, but the only
Samurai
way you
Warrior was another episode in
the
saga.
The only way you can know that saga is to put all your lives together.
Oh, I see. An individual life isn't going to reveal it.
Yeah, and there's no... It isn't a matter of looking for a commonality within those lives. That doesn't tell you anything. It's just a commonality of judgment. I want the story that those lives put together tell you. Which is going to be entirely different than your life today. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's so helpful to know. Okay.
And that's
say that again.
Eternal abiding self you're living. On the one hand, and you're living your life today, your personal life today, on the other hand.
I'd like to jump in here with change gear just a little bit. And I'm still imagining talking to a first timer and maybe sitting down and excuse me a second. In both of these scenarios, you're saying we're living an eternal life and living a loner life. And I think where my mind goes is that we're using the same word. And in a sense, living the eternal life, is there another way to describe that?
I've said before, your Bye-bye. Personal life is creating your eternal life, and you didn't like the word creating for anything.
Well, just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not the word for that. That's going to work.
I don't want to put creating in front of you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying that, again, explaining it to somebody. Because
your personal life creates that eternal scenario.
So your loner body life creates the scenario?
No.
Well, I say we're talking to an initiate here. Well, so we don't have personal life on this paper, what? Do we?
Yeah, but that's in the middle. That's in the middle. That's not the first page.
Okay.
In other words, they're not going to just jump in right there. All that other stuff will be introduced.
But I may not have introduced it fully enough. So Ken's right in saying, now I'm lost. And that's okay. Be lost.
Yeah. I'm just trying to, you know, as you speak, I image. And what, you know, I have a great image of this life. Because I'm living it.
But you have a lousy image of the other one because you don't know it.
Correct.
So it's like that's what imagination is all about. So you can see that limit life and be part of it.
Right. I think that's a good thing to write down somewhere.
That is written in here.
Okay.
In fact, it is written about 17 times.
Okay.
That's what imagination is all about.
Great. And I'm saying that from the person who doesn't know anything about this.
All I'm doing here is...
So I'm sorry, Ken, what was your question again? Talking to a person the first time, what were you pondering?
Well, it's real easy for us to have an image of our personal life because we're living it. But in going with create as Roger speaks or as I'm reading something or learning something, creating an image from those words... It's difficult to create an image of an eternal life.
Only if you get in your own way.
Well, yeah. Okay. That's
valid.
So
what we have to help them do is get out of their own way.
Yeah.
And that will be part of what we do in this life
in this, right.
Center.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Creating an image from those words is why you don't understand.
Right.
Yeah, I'm thinking because that Roger and I had an interesting chat yesterday.
Well, that's
and
what,
I've been...
That's what Pat just said.
Yep.
Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was just going to, you know, I'm echoing what Pat said earlier. I had an interesting chat with Roger yesterday where it has become very apparent. I mean, painfully so, even like years and years I've been doing this. I've been reading, you know, anything Roger wrote. I've been listening to the words. And kind of like you're saying, Ken, I'm trying to create an image from those words. But like we've been talking the last few weeks, that is what, thinking and imagining?
Mm-hmm.
Imagining, I'm taking the words and I'm forming, I think, like Patrick said, a picture that I think is on point with that. And I'm suspecting now it's a lot more like what Misty's saying. At least I've been looking at that lately. It's not a matter of creating an image for that. It's, in a way, stop denying or get out of my way and
right.
see the image that's been there or sense or perceive the image that's been there. And if I'm wrong about that, I know... Roger will correct me on it. Well, I want the guidance at this point because, you know, trying something different here.
Follow what Patrick said. Get out of your way.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been absolutely amazed where I had images come up and associations that I had just like, where the hell did that come from? But it was just so rang so true. Well, I'm just going to go with that. That's fabulous.
So on what Patrick did the other day. So I was on the bus going to work, and I just thought, well, you know, I could read, or I could just close my eyes here for a minute, and I could do a couple minutes of imagination. And my experience was, it was a bit like. It was like a dream. It was like, I wasn't really paying attention to it. It was like a picture of a lady in Africa. And she had this tree, the shrub, like a tree, like a sapling that, you know, needed to be planted. And I guess somebody handed it to her. And then the next image was of this, like a hole in the ground. And that was it. And I'm like, well, I didn't think anything of it until I started thinking about, that was like, you know, wait a minute, that was, what if that wasn't random? What if that was this an actual imagination? What if it was talking to me about planting a tree in my life, planting something in my life that will take root, planting an eternal self in my life or eternal life in my life today? It's mine to plant. And how do I want to do that today? So, you know, I just...
And that's what stem cells and stem cells is all about. So the Imagination Center will show you exactly how to do that. How to, one, experience that eternal life, and two, then how to implant that in your life today. That's
right.
The nature of this Imagination Center as I'm writing it.
Well, and you know, and I think that's super important. And just even on, I guess, a more, a less substantial level, I took off the bus realizing that day, I forget sometimes that my life is mine to create, my life is mine to plant that day.
That's
how
right.
I want to do it. It's mine to put into life. And so I spent the rest of the day thinking, like, any interaction I had with somebody, hey, wait a minute, I could stop right here and I could have a conversation, or I could offer this, or I could put this into what I'm writing, or I could, you know, and it really was like having your own personal message for the day. It was better than like pulling, you know, tarot cards or something. If I understood the image, I guess that's really what it hinged on, is did I understand the image? But regardless, I felt like I put it to better use. And I think maybe my point in this is a little bit saying it surprised me how, I guess I was looking for something like, okay, it's going to be some, you know, image or whatever. I'm waiting for it. And while I was waiting for it, one came along and was there, and it made a lot of sense when I reflected.
Roger, would you mind if I detoured this conversation into a dream that I think is very relevant that I had last night?
No, go ahead.
You know, by way of background, you will probably remember, Roger, that I've had a lot of dreams about preparing to leave, and I'm at a meeting or something like that, and my bag gets lost, I lose track of time, the taxi doesn't come, I miss the bus, just you name it. I've had those dreams where I end up missing my plane and I don't go wherever I'm supposed to go. And they're very frustrating dreams, and I've been having those for years. Hmm. Last night, I dreamt that I was a young lady, 15, 16, 17, something like that, that I knew that I was preparing to leave for somewhere, and in the dream, I laid out everything that was required. I packed my bags. I made sure my tickets were available. I checked the time. Everything was in order. And I left on time and caught the plane. End of dream.
And it went to the wrong place.
It was just amazing.
Yeah.
And it was that simple. I was a young lady of that mid-teens, and I just had everything prepared, everything laid out. I had the image, you know, stuff was laid out on a counter. I checked it out to make sure it was all there. I put it together in a box or a suitcase, and everything was ready, and I left on time, and everything was okay. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my question is that, Did I dream that did I dream that, and that reflects that I have altered somewhat how I've been imaging of late? And why would I be a young lady? I don't know what that's about.
I don't know. That's for you to decide.
Yeah. In my experience, if you're questioning it, stay tuned.
Well, the experience of being that young lady was entirely desirable, and I wouldn't mind repeating it.
It can be any number of things.
Well, then being desirable might be why.
Or it could be getting more in touch with your feminine side. It could be talking about a future life. It could be all sorts of things.
It could be portraying your abiding self that way.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, Roger. You broke up a bit.
I said, that may be portraying your abiding self. If you're living two lives at the same time, what makes you think they're both the same?
Yeah, that's a fact. Okay.
Yeah, maybe it's your abiding life somehow.
What was that, Simone?
Maybe it's your abiding life somehow, this young female.
Maybe you think females have advantages that males don't have.
We do.
Maybe.
Okay, well, thank you for that. We can get back to the discussion.
Ask for another dream to tell you what that dream meant.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
I shall. I'll do that tonight.
Or other words.
Number two, Andrew.
Thank you. Okay, hang on, sorry. All right, number two. Number two, your night dreams portray a continuous eternal story that has been going for centuries. But you only open and experience an episode or two each night, such that your dreams seem to be separate and different. Yet they are all part of one continuing story of your eternal abiding self and life. In the same way, each present, past, and future life is not separate and different lives. They're episodes of one moment of a single eternal abiding life. This abiding story is a life you have been living for centuries without knowing it. Isn't it about time you became aware of this continuing abiding self and life? The data information, which is found in your eternal soul, your abiding DNA, not in your loner body self, mortal DNA. Doesn't this create an entirely new image of death? This continuing is more than recurring. It involves continued awareness.
Can you explain that last sentence, Andrew?
That the data information is found in my eternal soul?
Yeah.
Not my loner body?
Yeah. Well, just the way it's written.
I cannot.
Just read it the way it's written and explain it.
He says he cannot.
Then why did you pass over it?
Reading for everybody else.
Well, why didn't you stop in the middle of it and say, this doesn't make any sense to me at all?
That's the way we need to probe these things. Because if one person has a question about it, you know that more do.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah,
I'm glad you stopped then, because I have no idea at this stage where I would find that data information in my eternal soul.
What?
Where you would find it? A physical thing?
Which is found in your eternal soul.
Right.
And I don't know what the eternal soul is in this context.
Abiding DNA.
It is that data and information that goes on forever, that is abiding.
So anything and everything that I've ever lived. Okay, I'm going to speak as masters here for the moment. So everything that I have lived is incorporated in my eternal soul, which is then I can call it and reference it as my abiding DNA.
Yep.
That's you in the cloud. Instead of on your PC.
I am the cloud, yeah.
Yeah. Instead of on your personal device.
Yeah. But isn't that necessary to say that I am the cloud? It's not from the cloud, but I am the cloud.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything to you.
I'm not entirely sure that it doesn't.
Well, doesn't mean anything to anybody else. They're interested in what is this abiding DNA? What is this abiding soul?
Well, I think my next involvement with my imaging is to start bringing this kind of stuff alive for me. Instead of it being Pat talking about it, this has to be, actually, I'm seeing the absolute value of it's not Masters and it's Gabriel, that I want to have a personification of the abiding being so I can speak from that point of view.
No, if you just speak from your abiding self, you won't understand it. I'm asking you to understand it, not as instead of experiencing it, but understand it, so when you experience it, you'll understand what it is.
Okay. All right. Sure. All right.
So, all right, for now, let's just talk about it. What does that mean to you?
No, I think that there will, there is something in mind that holds the a coalesced set of data and information that's enlarged in mind by the eternal being as it incarnates or comes alive in each loner body and is living in a loner body.
So what do you do about that?
Whatever those circumstances are, that data and information is encoded in mind and is will always be accessible to me, even
if you're living the data and information of your loner self. How do you find the access to the information of your abiding self?
I think that's by that living as a loner being, that I will begin living only that which I be prepared to live eternally, living and actioning that which I be prepared to live eternally.
What does that mean?
Slowly and quickly begin altering and remaking the DNA of this loner body to be in compliance with myself as an eternal abiding being.
And so you actually change
your DNA.
And then
as I live in that way, I will be having access to all of that data and information in mind.
So when you change the cells of your body following stem cells and stem cells process, you change the DNA of your body.
That's correct.
Then you begin, the DNA then is living you. You're not you more than you're living your DNA. But right now you're living
your... As a matter of fact, that I think I'm getting another image now of the loner body as the DNA is rewritten and the cells are replaced as they normally do with the new DNA.
That's your parents' DNA.
Yeah, and it's no longer my parents' DNA. It's an entirely different body.
No, they made
Is
the
that
body
not true?
From that DNA. The instructions didn't change. You're still living your parents' DNA. Their parents.
Yeah, my question is that in rewriting the DNA of my loner body, is it ultimately no longer my parents' body?
Right. It's now your abiding body, and it has a different DNA, and you're living your abiding DNA.
Son of a gun, I like that.
See how simple it all is?
Yep.
Is it part-time mixed with the parents' DNA?
No, it becomes the controller.
You mean, does it do it all at once? No.
Yes.
No, it doesn't do it all at once. You have to live it into it. You have to live it into your body.
Does it merge from loner DNA to my DNA?
No, it replaces.
It's completely emergent.
It replaces. Okay.
No. Wholly and completely emergent.
Yep.
Number 3. At the Life Care Center, we will take you on a... I'll start over. At the Life Care Center, we will take you on a journey of direct perception through imagination, so you can emergently experience your eternal self, your eternal abiding self in life.
Sweet.
So that's what it's about, eh? A journey of direct perception. Yeah, I agree.
And that's what regression was all about.
Right.
Only instead of going back to a past life, you regressed into that abiding life, self and life.
Yeah, I agree, Andrew. That's kind of a very direct, concise statement of what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was my question from before? Yes.
No. So everything hinges on that regression. We need another word for that.
Yeah. Didn't we name it last week?
No.
No, not regression. We didn't name it.
We didn't name that process that we had talked about. Okay.
It's imagination process.
Right.
But I like that.
Yeah, right?
That's yeah, give it a specific name.
That's how we called it. Yes.
Okay.
It's like I have majors of example.
Bad journey.
Shall I go on to the next one?
Keep going, Andrew.
All right, four. Abraham Lincoln wrote in a letter, how hard it is to die and leave one's country no better than if one had never lived for it. Following this pattern, what comes to mind when we say how hard it is to die and leave one's abiding self and life no better than if one had never lived for it? Well, what comes to mind, folks?
It's a question I've had, and I've asked it in one way or another over the years, and I'm still not satisfied. I know an answer, but that the degree to which the abiding self can express or experience something that we call joy or disappointment or whatever, and so does it really matter to the abiding being if a life just sort of spun out as a body and had kids and ate and drank and died?
Mm-hmm.
If you never lived your abiding self, then it does not progress. Its life does not progress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what... Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, wow. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Patrick, correct me if I'm not interpreting this correctly. So what you're saying is because the abiding self is eternal,
I didn't say it was eternal. You make it eternal.
Hmm. Okay.
If you don't make it, if you don't live it, like he said, then it's not eternal. That's what so what.
Okay. Well, I'm just...
Ah, okay.
If you don't live it, you haven't made it eternal. You haven't carried it on. And you haven't, neither are you. You are only another mortal in the next lifetime. You're mortal again. That's recurring. And then you're mortal again, and then you're mortal again, and it goes through the same old shit.
And that can have been going on for centuries.
Yes.
The wheel.
That's what we've talked about.
Okay.
Because you've taken each life as a separate life. And in a sense it is, but it's really only a separate life. Life within a continuing life, and it's the continuing life that we're interested in.
So it sounds like the saga is there, it's just not alive for me unless I live it that way.
The saga is there up to today, but it's not necessarily there up to today. If you haven't enlivened it, it won't be there tomorrow. You haven't enlivened it. If we did past life readings, you would know all these past lives, but you wouldn't know anything about today, because you're still treating them as past lives.
Yeah.
I'm treating them as continuing eternal. So in this case, then. So in this case, then, you can. You can have lots of lives and still only be living one life. Lots of lives are only moments in the one life. the one continuous life. And unless you are aware of that continuous life, you'll always feel, act, and struggle with and against being mortal. That's where we are now.
So, Roger, if I understand, let me see if I'm going to ask a question in the form of a statement. So if somebody, just a, you know, an average, you know, dumb person who's always lived as a loner body, a mortal loner body, was to pick up in the middle of their life and start living eternal, then their
everything would change.
Abiding saga.
Then they would pick up on that continuing saga, and they'd see themselves and their life as continuing, as eternal, and everything they do. Because that's what they've done. They've made eternal choices.
Oh, I see.
See, now, there's the whole wrap right there.
Yeah, it's very different than traditional beliefs that say there's a eternal spirit there. You got it.
And it restructures everything.
Yeah.
Well... Really?
So number three is the incipit of the life center, life care center. And number five is the, damn it, the word slipped out of my mouth now. That's what the life care center does.
It makes your abiding self the incipit for everything in your life.
Yep.
So you understand everything eternally.
Mm-hmm.
All Buddha and Jesus did is tell you what to do and what not to do. Love your neighbor. Or follow the eight paths of righteousness. We're trying to give you an image to live and be.
So, Ken, it's a little hard in a 10-minute conversation as you pass somebody on the street to talk about the Emergent Life Care Center, right?
Well, yeah.
Like I said, well, each person has to decide to get that understanding and then decide how you want to express that understanding.
Right.
That's right, yep.
Yes.
So if you're going to talk to a stranger, what would you say?
Yeah.
Yep.
And what I was asking last week is, well, what do you want the center to do? Do you want it to do this kind of stuff, or do you want it to do healing? Or do you want it to do something else? And then now we're at, if you're going to do this kind of stuff, how do you want to say that? How do you want to put that into your life? How do you want to say what's going on? I can get you to live it or to experience it, but then, okay, after you experience it, now this is what you just experienced. How are you going to live it? That's where we are now.
Yeah.
All the way down the page?
Yep.
Didn't read
No, five. It's just number five.
Oh, well.
Yeah, there's still one left.
Yeah, number five was, if you're willing to personally experience your abiding self in life, we at the Emergent Life Care Center will go on this journey with you and guide you.
That's the same as a regression. Only it's an imagination to your abiding self in life.
Yeah. But this can be a self-learning tool as well, yeah? Is that what you said?
What?
Someone could take this as I understand it, you said someone could also take this as a book, as a self-learning tool.
And do what he said.
A self-experiencing.
Someone could take this.
They'd probably not take that.
But
you'd have to go to the life care center and experience this stuff. It's like you have to be put through the regression.
I see.
Then you learn, as you've done, or as Pat's done, you've learned the process. It's too hard to discuss that process. You just have to do it.
Yeah.
Then you could do that, because one of the parts of this is that everybody who comes to the center is both student and teacher.
Oh, wait, wait. How so?
Well, because you
student
only
I got.
You only gain it by teaching it.
Okay, interesting.
You put it into your life and express it to others is the only way you get it and understand it.
Yeah, I agree.
The same way as you only understand a loner self or loner body by how many times you express it to somebody else and the way you do that and what reaction you get. So everybody at the center has to have gone through the regression process and done the regression process. I've been doing it for 40 years.
In talking with Jennifer this week about tonight, she said that she had hoped that we'd go there and talk more about the actual process. She says, is everybody clear on what that is? Or,
well,
you know,
nobody was clear on it. Nobody would say anything. Nobody would make suggestions. So I said, I'm going to write it my way.
Okay. Have you? Is that part of what you've written so far or no?
Huh?
Is that part of what you've written so far?
Yeah.
It's in there. So we'll see it this week in the Dropbox. We think?
Hmm?
Did I hear a chuckle from the other room? Okay. No, no, I
and I've written it in the form of stories, so you can follow the story. Maybe you can get an understanding by following the story rather than just telling you what the words mean. But if you then come to the center, we'll not only tell you the story, we'll tell you what it all means and put you through the experience. Then after you've experienced your abiding self, it all makes sense. So that's the first thing that you have to
Roger.
Do. What?
Yeah, without experiences, it goes to believing, and then some people will reject it. Yes.
It has nothing to do with believing.
Yeah, right.
It's like Patrick says, you'll do it anyway if you get out of your way. And that's the purpose of the regression process, to get you thinking out of your way.
Excellent. Okay, I got a question, Roger.
Okay.
So someone does the imagination experience, and they can come back and either write about it or talk about, you know, what they experienced.
Yeah.
My question is, does the dream, understanding process then get involved in any way?
Yes, because then it says, how are you going to live it? So then you, if that's going to be your incipit, and that's the focus of your life, now how are you going to live that focus? And so all this other stuff comes into the dreams, keep you informed of how well you are living that focus.
Yeah. And what I'm asking as well is, does the process that you've taught for years on understanding dreams also get shared at the center?
Yes.
All right. I'm beginning to see her. Okay.
And you could imagine then that part of your problems and difficulties or illnesses in life may well be because you are struggling against your abiding self, against that life. You're in your own way. And you're making temporary choices that are self-defeating. That's the purpose of all of this.
Yeah, for sure I do that. Temporary choices. Most of the time.
However you feel for the moment. That's what you do.
Oh
my gosh, yeah.
You're focused on trying to feel good.
I think that.
And that's only the short view. Yeah. I remember in the IM gathering that we worked on that short view and long view.
Because she missed it all.
Yeah.
This is what she wanted to talk about, but she didn't come.
She might be listening.
I'm Jennifer, sorry. You out there listening? I guess not. Since her dream started all this, I just wondered about what she thought about going this way.
But how you write it here, Roger, with this with the notes on the side, the definitions, how you use the words, it's very helpful for me. I have a list with words, how you use it, but I have to look it up each time.
That's right.
And having it on the side, it's very supporting to understand, yes.
I hope so.
Well, as far as I see on this first page.
It takes a lot of doing.
On this one page. Yeah.
We may repeat some of those things over and over.
Okay. And that's the end of that page.
Read the definitions or the description area.
Sure. Okay. I think you just asked me to read them, so I'll start with abiding. Enduring, continuing without lessening, without death as annihilation, eternal. Death as annihilation. Annihilation is a word, yeah? I'm not familiar with it.
Annihilation, Misty said.
To delete.
Interrupt. No.
If you disagree with the definitions, define them for yourself and put it in the Dropbox with a big note on it. Attention, Roger.
Okay. Oh, it's interesting. The next one is death, to be continued, not annihilation, nor is it an ending and resurrection.
Annihilation.
Continued. Okay. Soul is abiding DNA, not loner DNA. Okay. Imagination is direct perception. See imagination section following. Direct perception. Okay. And emergent is appearing spontaneously from nothing, not to be confused with emerging, in which something unfolds from within the constituents, nor with cause and effect. Emergent appears. It is not caused. There is no causal action in emergent. It just appears from nothing. Okay, so we go. Self. Self is the you that is brought to life through embodiment, sometimes improperly referred to as ego, the energy aspect of you. Self is physical, not spiritual. So on that definition, Roger, are you saying that self is the energy aspect, or is that one of those improper references?
No, it is. What's wrong with that being self being the energy aspect of you?
Oh, nothing at all. I just that's interesting. I never heard it that way, but that's fine. Makes sense. Yeah, it's interesting. When people die, I mean, you know, there's a body, and it does, you could say that the energy has left that body. It's just a shell. So that's really interesting. It's almost like you can see the self in that regard, in action. Okay, and life care is awareness and care of your abiding self in life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what occurs in the center.
Now, if you want more than care that, then say so. Send me an email or put it in the Dropbox.
All right.
If you don't like the way I've said it, say so. Tell me what you want. Don't tell me I don't like it. Tell me what you do like. What you do want to say. How you want to say it.
Okay. But so far, I think those are useful, and I like them.
But we're talking more than just useful. We're talking life-changing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, certainly so. Jeff, to be continued.
I've been saying
like
all these things
there.
For 20 years. I hope it doesn't take us that long to get anything going or to get anything across to anybody who comes to the center.
Right.
The center will be a virtual one?
Center will be a what?
Virtual one. Existing
yes.
online.
Could be.
Or take it place into a house where people actually can go to?
Yes.
I had pictured it as a personal experience like the regression or something.
But that's going to be it, then we should start on that. If that's what we want to do. Huh.
Okay, that process, yeah, the imagination experience.
Didn't you want to buy a house down by the shore once for a type thing? How do I say that? For a similar thing like the Life Care Center?
Do I want to buy a house down on the shore for that? No. You want a definite answer?
She said, didn't you once? Huh? Did you once want to?
Didn't you? Yeah, yeah.
Do I want one?
No, did you once want one? A house down by the shore to do something similar to this? That was Simone's question.
Well, if somebody else was responsible for it. I don't want to buy a house and have the money and or the mortgage and all that problem. Everybody here who's got a center is then bastardized what they did because they've got to pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
And they'll do anything to pay the mortgage. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. And then they go belly up, declare bankruptcy. And that doesn't accomplish anything. Not here or in Fairbanks.
So when you guys were talking with Jennifer and Ken or whatever about this, what was the how would Jennifer use it? Would she just use it at her office or something, or was there going to be a separate?
Well, I don't know.
Geographic location.
I haven't talked to Jennifer about it.
Yeah. I don't think she's.
Oh, I thought you guys had. Okay.
This may not be what Jennifer wants.
Right.
All right.
She's got to come back. She's not here.
Yep.
Ken drove her away.
Yeah. Told her how much work it was.
Huh?
I told her how much work it was.
So, is that it for tonight?
Well, I'm through unless you have other things you want to say.
At this point, I don't have anything else to say.
I just want to clarify the definition of death. That's
of
ongoing of death.
Oh, death, okay.
Yes. Death is on my life continuing, is it?
Death is your life continuing?
Yes.
Yes. That's my question, to clarify the definition here, to be continued.
It's what death is. Mm-hmm. I can change it to continuing rather than to be to continue.
Your answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think tonight we'll just call it there because we got a lot of weary souls, I can tell, on this line and here.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Just pay attention to
the
drop box. If you have any definitions or things that you want to add or anything else, you know, you guys have to, you have to put it in there. You know?
Yeah.
If you want to be a part of this, be a part of it. Don't put it all on his shoulders. Okay?
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll say goodnight
Thank
for now.
You.